Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from, and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
So over the last couple of weeks, we started a sermon series that were called Putting Down Roots. And it's at the heart of this, it's a desire to remind us or teach us that we are rooted in Christ, and then how we become more deeply rooted in Him and one another. Back in the early 2000s, when we first got to Kingwood, not too far into that, our neighborhood was having one of those block parties. You know, one of those come out and meet the people you don't normally meet because everybody runs inside and locks their door real quick. So we were at this place, you know, it's a hot dog, have fun. And I noticed there at the party that there was a couple that I recognized from church. And so we started a conversation, and I was like, so don't y'all go to Kingwood United Methodist Church? And they're like, yeah, we go, but we've never joined. And I said, well, okay. They said, well, the truth is, we could just be moved at any time. I mean, the way my husband's job is, next week we could be asked to go somewhere. And so, you know, we don't want to join and then not be able to follow through on that. So I said, so how long have y'all lived in Kingwood? And they said, well, 8 years now. But you know it's true, right? I mean, I know pastors who are hesitant to put roots down. Because some of you may not know, at least in the United Methodist Church, we're on one-year appointments. Every year we get appointed. So every year we can move. And so I know pastors who they just don't put down roots. Now some of that's because it's like, why bother if I'm going to move? Some of it's because, well, I don't want to get too close. You know, all those kind of issues. Now, if you ever come to my office, and if you've been to my office, you'll start laughing. I'm one of those people who is organized by piles. I know where everything is. Don't come clean it up, because I'll be lost if you do that. But if you're like one of those really kind of neat office people, you would start like getting the jitters if you like walked into my office. And there's nothing on the wall. I keep saying one day I'm going to hang things on the wall, but there's just nothing there. It's okay. I operate fine, and that's kind of my preferred model. But in another church I was serving, which I was also by the pile method, and then there's still some boxes I've never unpacked. I've only been here since July 2013, but they're still sitting there. And somebody came into my office one time, and they went, wow, it looks like you're ready to leave at the drop of a hat. I was like, ooh, that's not really what I was trying to convey, but you get the impression, right? Just leave things boxed up so it's ready to go whenever. Sometimes we hesitate to put down roots for lots of reasons. But God, today as we're gathered in this place, I ask you to help us by your grace and your joy and your love to see how we are rooted and connected in you in powerful ways, how they can make all the difference in our lives, and how that can help us to grow close to one another. So God, do some of that work here. Use my words, get my words out of the way. Speak through me, God, through stories, through scripture, through whatever you want to convey through me. Please, Lord, don't let me get in the way. And help our ears and our hearts and our minds to hear exactly what you want us to hear, what we need to hear today from you. May it all be for your glory, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So of this series, there's kind of a thesis statement that we found in the book of Colossians. It's Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. We've got it printed in your bulletin again here this morning. That's actually Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus our Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. You see this statement, it starts with a fact, and then it moves to an invitation. It moves to instruction. First the fact, the truth, the statement, the declaration. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. You see, this letter is written to people who have already entered into the faith. They've probably already been baptized. They're probably assembling some. And Paul is saying in this that you are already rooted together. That you are rooted together in the work of God through Jesus Christ. That before we go any farther, you don't have to do anything more to be rooted in Christ. You are already connected in that way. Now the instruction. Since that's the fact, continue to live your lives in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. So do you hear the instruction? You're connected, you're rooted. Now keep living that way. Stay rooted, stay built up. Become strengthened in the faith that you were taught and rooted in, and always be overflowing with thankfulness. Always. We're reminded who we are. Those who receive Christ Jesus as Lord. And then we're invited to take that gift and respond to it. Because, my brothers and sisters, we're still in progress. We're still being worked on. We're still growing more like Christ. I kind of look at this in this way. Here's my one football analogy for the day. On NFL draft day, when it's a team's turn to call out a player, they call out a player's name.
Number 67, Will Fuller.
And that person is immediately on the team, right? Don't go too far. Those of you who really know, there's contract negotiations and all that. But once they call out their name, you're now on that team. But think if that rookie reports to camp and goes, I'm on the team. I don't have to do anything. He ain't going to be on the team for very long. But he's already part of the team. And then the instruction is, now get out there and work on the team. Make the team better. Continue to be a part of this team. So that's kind of what Paul's saying here. You're on the team. Now keep living that way. Keep growing in that way. Keep getting stronger in that way. Keep working together so that this team, so this connection, so that this people that have received Christ as Lord will continue to live their lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Also here too, what comes first in this equation is God's grace. It's being put on the team. The new person whose name is called, who's now on the team, they didn't really deserve that or earn that. They're privileged to receive that from the team. God moves first here. It's God who's rooted. It's God who's putting us together in Christ. God moves first. And so this is not saying by stronger will, by self-help, you become part of the team. No, you're part of the team. And the most important thing that you and I can ever do is not become the expert at the spiritual disciplines, not have a morning devotional every single morning and be despairing if we miss a day. The greatest thing that you and I can ever do is to open our heart to the grace of God and let God do the work that God wants to do. And to let God always be out in front instead of thinking that we've got to please Him or we've got to earn His love or He's an angry God and we don't want Him to punish us or we've got to do this because this is our duty and obligation or we need to be needed. No, none of those are the motivation. All the motivation is found in the fact that we're already rooted in Christ by the grace of God. And that's how we're called to live. When we gather at this meal in a little while, we are going to be once again receiving grace from God and the opportunity to connect with one another through His Holy Spirit. So in the midst of all this, this word rooted comes into focus. And Paul intentionally uses that word here in those verses from Colossians 2. Look at these other words from Colossians 1, 21 to 23. And get a sense for who it is and how we're rooted in one another. You see, once you and I were alienated from God, we were enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior. But now God has reconciled us by Christ's physical body through death to present us holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if we continue in our faith, established and firm. And don't move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel you heard that's been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. You see, the truth is that you and I, we make horrible choices. You know, you and I sin and fall short of the glory of God all the time. We have done things that we deserve to have God turn his back on us, and God says, I'm not going to. You're mine. Not only am I not going to turn my back on you, I'm going to constantly draw you towards me. I'm going to reconcile the separation and the differences that we have, because I'm going to go all in. I'm going to come. I'm going to be born. I'm going to live. I'm going to love. I'm going to die. And I'm going to rise again so that that separation that God created is reconciled and reformed, so that you and I, without blemish, can stand before God by the power of his Holy Spirit and his blood on the cross. If you've never grasped the depth of that reconciliation, come with me to a prison weekend ministry. When you walk into a room full of people, some of whom are serving life sentences stacked on each other, every person in that room wearing white, thinking there's nothing I can do. I mean, my family's forgotten me. God has every right to turn his back on me and accuse me just like the judge did, because I'm not worth it because of the choice I made. And we help them to understand that this gift of forgiveness and love is just as available to them as it is to you and me. When I've walked down death row and looked in men's eyes and said, God loves you even here, because I believe in a God of unconditional love. He doesn't like all we do. That doesn't stop his love. Do you hear the depth of that? That's what we're rooted in. We are rooted in relationship with Christ. And then we're asked to continue in that, to keep moving forward in this faith that we've learned, and to hold on to it, to be rooted, to not move, to be anchored, to be hanging on by choice or hanging on by desperation, but to stay connected to God. And to know that of all things in our life, that the most important thing, the number one most important thing that we'll ever do is to grab a hold of that relationship with God and never let go for all eternity. And the beautiful thing is, you and I don't have to create that relationship. God offers. It's a gift. It says we receive Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his son. We don't work to get rooted. We work to stay rooted. But God roots us together in Christ.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
Another cool thing happens when we're rooted in Christ. Then we're rooted with one another. In the church, with a capital C, you and I are rooted with people of all time and all place. So when my uncle passed away the other day, I know that it's not a goodbye forever. It's a see you later. Because we're still connected. Not in the same way. But we're still connected. When I get a text from Bert from a busload of people in the Holy Land, we're connected. Not by my phone, but in Christ. We are rooted together. And I love in Scripture, you know, it starts calling us brothers and sisters. You know, back then, if you left your Jewish roots or you left your Gentile roots, either way, likelihood is that your family was going to disown you. Your support system was going to go away. Guess what? Church became brothers and sisters. Not husbands and wives. You can get rid of that relationship. Brothers and sisters, we're stuck with one another. Now, you cannot talk to me for a long time. I know that happens with brothers and sisters. But we're still stuck together. Brothers and sisters, connected, rooted with one another. I'll never forget my first Sunday as a pastor in Murkison, Texas. It was about 2 weeks between when I stopped being an environmental chemist and when I had my first Sunday as a pastor. And it was a communion Sunday of all things. I'm thinking, these people are lunatics to let me do this in that period of time. And so I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. But on that Sunday, some people from my part of my family was there, and this really good friend of mine, Jim, who I was really growing in faith at Bear Creek United Methodist Church where we left from, he actually came that day also. And so after serving communion, he walked up to me and he says, "You know what my favorite part of this whole day has been?" And I said, "What's that?" He said, "Knowing that the people at Bear Creek United Methodist Church are taking communion right now also." There are Christians, brothers and sisters of ours, all over the world who are coming to a table like this today. Who are coming to receive the grace of God in so many different forms. And we are connected to them. One of the greatest challenges that we have created in the Protestant faith is our focus on our relationship with Jesus. I mean, we love it in our country because we like being individuals and we like autonomy. And so we love this focus on my relationship with Jesus Christ. The problem is, if it's all just about you and me and me and Jesus, that really creates a really weak church. In the sense that Bob Nichols had no trouble saying, "Well, you know, preacher man, you're never going to catch me at church. Those are just a bunch of hypocrites. I'm a lot better off with me and Jesus out on my horse watching the sunrise." You hear that? As long as me and Jesus are okay, it can create a weak connection. Now, the other flip side is you're a part of a strong church, but you're never encouraged to grow in your relationship with Christ. There are other churches that do that. What we need is both of those together, right? Because it is about our relationship with Jesus Christ, but not at the expense of the fact that we are rooted together in Christ as this thing called church. And truthfully, our greatest growth and our strength comes when we embrace both of those things at the same time. When we are rooted in Christ and when we are continuing to live as if we are rooted and growing close to Jesus. Back in 2018, I was on vacation with my family. If you know my family, there are a lot of people smaller than me that sit in the seats behind me when I'm driving. We were in Michigan, where my wife Laura's mom lives, and I was out in the woods walking by myself. Also a miracle with all the young people that sit behind me in my car. But I was walking out in the woods, and there was kind of a light breeze. And I'm a big fan of wind. Because I've learned from Scripture that wind and the breath of God and the Holy Spirit are all the same word. So as the wind blows, I mean, the slightest breeze, sometimes I'll just stop and just turn in the breeze. So that day, I feel a little breeze and I stop. And as I'm just enjoying that little breeze, I look up And there's these aspen trees, and man, those leaves are just going. Have you ever seen an aspen tree? They sometimes call them quaking aspen trees because the leaves vibrate so much. All the other trees, not so much. But the aspen trees are going crazy in the breeze. And I heard God say to me, Chris, you're my aspen tree. Because as soon as you see that I'm blowing through, you want to tell all the other trees about it. But as I was preparing for today, I realized that in some ways, we're all God's aspen trees. Here's why. Really incredible stuff. I don't know if you know this. An aspen tree is actually a part of a stand that are all connected in this integral root system. So an aspen tree isn't like an oak tree with its own roots that go into the ground, kind of like on the front of the bulletin. An aspen tree is connected to the aspen tree sitting next to it and the aspen tree sitting next to it. So they're all together in one large organism. And in truth, the greater life of an aspen stand is not what's above the ground. It's what's below the ground. You can take a stand of aspen trees and cut them off at ground level. And in no time at all, young saplings begin to rise. You can take away the things that we normally look at, but the strength is in the roots. And I smile sometimes with confidence when someone says to me, Chris, can we be doing so much damage in the church that the church would just cease to exist because of us? No. It may change appearance above the ground, but our strength is what we're rooted in. Our strength is below and deep within us. We're aspen trees. I also love the fact that aspen trees can really thrive in a lot of places. They can thrive in a lot of environments. And they grow all year long. They don't take off the winter like a lot of trees. They don't become dormant. They just keep growing. Another call to us. Wherever you're planted, wherever you find yourself in life, in ministry, no matter what time of the year, no matter what season of life, God's still calling us to grow. To continue to live as if we're rooted. And then the last thing that I thought of was, you know, sometimes aspen trees serve as food for wildlife. They're used for medicinal purposes. They serve. They have a purpose. And they love to witness to the breeze of God. That's us. We're called to serve. We're called to witness. Rooted in Christ with brothers and sisters across space and time. That's who we are. And that's who we're called to continue to become. Thriving wherever we're planted. Serving and loving and witnessing. Growing in the hard times of our life and in the wonderful success times of our life. That's who we are. That's who we're created to be, rooted in Christ. And that's who we're called to continue to become. It's who we are. One final thought and an invitation that comes with it, of course. If we're a people that are deeply rooted in Christ, then why don't we look at one another as a people who are connected together? Why do we spend so much time judging one another by what's above the ground? Why do we focus on our relationships and who we hang with or who we like or who we don't based upon age or race or political party or socioeconomic group or whatever? If we're brothers and sisters in Christ, isn't that more significant than all the things up here that make us look different? I mean, what if we really treated one another as if we were connected in Christ and that all of us had value because we were growing up from the same root and that we were rooted in Christ? What would be different about our relationships? What would change in our community, in our world, if that's the way we lived? I love how that happens here, actually. Today, we're beginning to honor UM Army throughout the month. If you haven't been on a UM Army trip recently, every one of our trips, the July trip or the June trip, we have youth coming from either Methodist Children's Home or Youth with Christ. Now from A Fresh Start, we've got boys that are starting to interact. We're talking to Freedom Place, which is where girls that are recovering from being trafficked, they're going to start coming and be a part. Because why? Because we are connected and we are open to not look at our differences above here, but to focus more on what's underneath. When we go into prisons, when we go into Haiti, when we're going to go into Tanzania, across the street at Society, down the road at Mission Northeast, instead of looking at one another up here and what's different about us, what about if we keep focusing on what God is calling us to do as we're rooted together? I love that our students have a Unite retreat coming up, and they don't just do a retreat by themselves. We go down and hook up with Woodridge Baptist Church, and we hook up with Christ the King Lutheran Church and Strawbridge United Methodist Church and others in the community, that they come together. Why? Because the stuff up here isn't the most important thing if we're united and connected and rooted in Jesus Christ. I love that we feed lambs. I love that we build networks to help one another in disasters. I love that we do things like Emmaus and Kairos that bring us together from different faith expressions, but recognize that the most important thing is that we are connected, rooted, brothers and sisters in Christ. Because that's more important than the differences. We have a part of every Kairos weekend where we help these men understand that they are the church right there. Many of them are never going to sit in one of these pews. And if our definition of what is church means who's sitting in our pews, we need to expand our definition. Some of them are never going to leave some of the places that we visit. But they know by the end that they are connected in Christ, rooted in forgiveness and love. And so we help them to understand that they are the church right there, and they are intended to thrive right there. And so as we help them understand that, by the end of the weekend, all it takes is one person hollering out, "Who's the church?" And the men in white holler back, "We're the church." That's rooted. That you can be serving a life sentence and realizing the forgiveness of Jesus Christ is available for you. Because whatever our life is, whatever our situations are, whatever our circumstances, we're rooted together, you and I. And we need each other, you and I. So I'm inviting you to embrace that rootedness that you already have and keep putting down roots. Keep striving. Keep growing. Stay alive in the faith. Stay rooted for the glory of God. Lord, I thank you for the depth of your love for us. I thank you that your love never fails. I thank you that as we come to this table this morning, that your love is made apparent to us in so many beautiful ways. So God, now as we move into this time of celebrating the gift of your grace to us, may we be open to seeing you and hearing your love for us through Christ our Lord.